Fans of Friends may remember Aisha Tyler as a love interest of both Ross and Joey. Of course, she's also hosted Talk Soup on E!, starred on any number of TV shows and in the movies alongside Adam Sandler and Christopher Walken, and now provides the voice of Lana Kane, a spy in the FX animated series Archer. Yet her first love is stand-up.
I love comedy. I love doing comedy. It's just like the best job I could ever choose for myself. I just love it. And it's cool because I get to travel and I get to meet cool people. And I love that because I was not a cool kid, right? I was a very, very dorky kid. I'm 6 feet tall. And I've pretty much been this tall since preschool. Thank you. Nothing better than being 6 feet in like the second grade. That's awesome. And I was also the first and only black kid in my school. Oh yeah, during Black History Month, I was the exhibit. Thank you. That was good. They're like, hey, we have the Negro in her natural habitat. She's going to tell us all about her people. And then we're going to touch her hair.
Only black kid, only tall kid, only poor kid. And she milks those topics and many more on a nationwide tour. We'd like to hear from the stand-up comedians in our audience, especially the female comics. Why do you do it? 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. Go to npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Aisha Tyler joins us here in Studio 3A. Nice to have you with us today.
I'm thrilled to be here. Really excited. It's always exciting to see the face that goes with the voice you've listened to since you were a wee pup.
Oh, wee pup. She'll get over the shock soon. Between the travel and the tough crowds and the tough nights, and did I mention the travel? You have alternatives in your professional life. Why do you do stand-up?
Oh, because I have some kind of mental deficiency, I'm sure. I think most comedians will describe comedy in drug-like terms. Mm-hmm. It's an addictive experience, laughter. You know, for a comedian, that first time you get on stage and you get that one paltry, just really parsimonious kind of half titter. That's it. You're just, I'm on this for the rest of my life. And it was like that for me. I did stand up for the first time in a tiny little club in San Francisco. It had about 30 seats. I went up at 1:47 in the morning because you had to pay to get on stage. It was a classy joint, everybody. You had to pay money. I think it was $3 for 2 minutes. And I didn't realize it was first come, first serve. So I was there at the end of the line.
$3 for two? It sounds like a phone
company.
It
really was. Like a terrible early kind of Ponzi scheme. And it was like my husband and a hobo and the bartender in the audience. And, you know, the hobo laughed because I paid him to do so. And that was it. I was like, this is what I want to do for a living.
And then you're obviously doing other things in your career. Yeah. Do you continue to return to it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, interestingly, it is a bit of an addiction that you can't avoid returning to. It's got this kind of siren call, nothing like standing up in front of a group of drunken, yelling people and with a tummy full of free chicken wings. I mean, it's a heady life. But it makes you, I think, creatively and mentally very tough, because in every other aspect of my work, other people are writing for you. There are people lighting you. You've got makeup. You've got hair. The comedy experience is a raw personal experience. It's very stripped down. It's that
you should see the personal staff she has with us here for the radio appearance.
My posse. They're pulling all of the N's and the P's and the R's off of the walls and replacing them with gold ones. It's pure, and that experience, that feedback from the audience, you don't get that from any other aspect of what we do. And it also, you're writing constantly, you're performing constantly. It makes you very fearless. And then, you know, to go back onto a movie set with, you know, where you get 20 takes at something, it's like baby town frolics, you know.
And the travel, that can't be any fun.
You know, it's interesting. I it gives you an opportunity to see this nation, you know, D.C., Grand Rapids, Michigan, anybody? Tallahassee, Florida. You get to see, you know, get to see the country. I love being close to my fans. That's the part, except for sometimes they hug a little too long. You know what I mean? It's occasionally a little security. But most of the time, you get to see these people and experience that affection and that really intense relationship. And it's really more of a conversation than a one-way kind of monologue for me. So, you know, I have a little bit of an OCD thing. If you ever check into a hotel, see if I was there before you, because the room will be immaculate. I will have wiped down every surface with some kind of Rantex wipe or hand disinfectant. That part's not so great. But the rest of it, to get close to fans and then to spend 4 or 5 hours every night watching Law & Order reruns on TNT. It's a glamorous life. This is Hollywood, people. Hollywood. Chicken wings and Law & Order.
And the green rooms, they are so lavish.
Yes, the, if you can, if there is an actual chair upon which to sit without either sustaining some kind of back injury or coming away sticky, you've hit a really nice place. Most of them, it's best to stand. Yeah, you know, I can't explain why I do it. I mean, it's like going into combat. Why do you keep going back? It's just, it's like, I'm like the guy at the end of the Hurt Locker. I just can't stay away.
We're talking with Aisha Tyler, a former host of E! Entertainment's Talk Soup, a held a guest role on Friends and many other TV shows, now provides the voice of Lana Kane on the FX animated series Archer. And you're just winding up this national tour?
Yes, I've been touring all spring, and this is my last date for a little while. I'm actually going to headline Philadelphia, the Gay Pride celebration in Philadelphia next Sunday, and then I'm going to take July off. We are recording. We're in the middle of recording the third season of Archer right now, so I'll be working on that over the summer, and then I'll go back out on tour in the fall. Actually, in August with Stephanie Miller, we're doing the Sexy Liberals comedy show, so I'll be doing some dates with her and John Fugelsang. But yeah, I tour constantly. Whenever I get a break, I get out and do stand-up. You can't, it's a muscle, and if you let it atrophy, wow, it's ugly.
We'd like to hear from the stand-ups in our audience. Why do you do it? Especially like to hear from the women. 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. Nick's on the line from Sacramento.
Yeah, hi, Neil. How are you? How are you guys doing?
Good.
Good, thanks.
My question is, I've been writing jokes now for about 2 years. In fact, I'm going to do my first open mic next Saturday in Sacramento. And my question is, what advice do you give to somebody who's just, you know, getting ready to, you know, basically kick off their career?
Wow. Well, first of all, good for you for preparing for 2 years. You're one of the most well-prepared comedians I've ever met. Most people stumble up there thinking, my friends told me I'm funny. Let's see what happens. So you're already ahead of most of the guys starting out. You know, honestly, just let that, don't worry about that first set being perfect. Every comedian will tell you that their best set was their first set because they had no expectations. They didn't really expect to kill. Scott Carter, who was an executive producer of Real Time, in an interview recently, said, my only goal was to get one laugh. You know what I mean? So if I got two laughs, I was already going to be ahead of the game. Just go up and enjoy yourself. Don't worry too much about results. Comedy is really about honesty. It's about being fully yourself on stage. Material is important, but even more important is if you are happy up there, if you're enjoying yourself up there, the audience will too. So just have a good time and then be prepared to do another 4,000 or 5,000 sets before you get funny. It's going to take a while. Before you get funny. There are guys with natural ability. But it's like anything. Even though you run fast, that's not going to get you into the Olympics. So you start out with natural ability, and then the hard work begins. And when I was a baby comedian, I used to guest set on a lot of older comedians' shows, and I was talking to Tom Rhodes, and I was about 2 or 3 years old as a comic. And, you know, I was like, what's the trick? You know, tell me the secret. And he goes, man, you just got to get up on stage. And I was like, you just don't want to tell me the secret. You just want to keep it from me, you stingy bastard. And he was right. The only thing that it's like, if you're going to win a race or you're going to be a high diver, the only way to get good at high diving is to do a lot of high dives.
So just even if Nick has some really good jokes, he's unlikely to be.
He'll get some laughs. For sure, he'll get some laughs.
But he's unlikely to be funny.
Yeah, I mean, in the way that. Oh, I'm sure you're hilarious, Nick. I'm sure you're a laugh riot. Maybe I should revise the statement and say before you get good, you're probably going to get up and get laughs, and I'm sure you're going to be really funny. But the period between 1 and 5 for a comedian is a very frustrating time because you're always a better writer than you are a performer. You know what I mean? You're always in your head and can envision a better set than you can actually deliver, and that's just about the work of getting on stage constantly. So the other piece of advice I would give you is get up everywhere you can. Don't be shy. Go to every crappy coffee house. Go to every awful open mic. Those are the shows that make you tough. And when you're the tougher you are, the funnier you'll be.
Well, thank you so much.
Nick, thank you very much for the call, Nick. But going to all of those places means working those audiences, even if your material does not necessarily appeal to them.
Yes, and I think that is the challenge for a comedian who's starting out. You know, at my point in my career, I'm very lucky. People know me and they know my style of comedy, especially now that I'm doing Archer, which is very close to my own kind of, you know, style of comedy. So they know what they're coming to get. But when you're starting out, they don't know you and they don't know anything about you, and you have a lot of winning to do. And that's what I mean about getting to be a better performer, being able to read the audience, being able to kind of sense the tone, having enough versatility to flow with the audience. But at the same time, the way to be funny is to find what's funny to you, and you'll find your audience. And you're just going to have terrible sets. I mean, you're going to, man, people always go, have you ever bombed? I'm like, how I can't even count. It's a countless number of times I've bombed. Being killing doesn't make you funny. It's only bombing that makes you hilarious because it makes you tough.
Let's talk with Casey. Casey with us from Richmond.
Hi there. Yes, greetings from Zimbabwe. I started doing stand-up in New York to prevent going postal on my network television news colleagues back, well, a while ago. We'll put it that way. And I miss it. I do a lot of speaking now, and my comedy certainly informs my speaking in a very powerful way and makes me quite popular among the audiences I speak to. But I really miss it. I wish that there were open mics that were really as anything goes as the ones that I participated in New York. But unfortunately, down here in Zimbabwe, they have a very, very low tolerance for anything that isn't, G-rated.
Oh, yeah, that can be difficult. But, you know, I know some guys who are from the South and they're in L.A. now, but they started a show called The Dirty Show. And, you know, I think you'd be surprised if you're a little clearer about what you're selling, you'll find your audience. You know what I mean?
No, absolutely. The thing is, I'm not looking to do comedy at this point outside of the confines of what I'm doing as a speaker. But I do think that particularly for women not in major cities, it is a problem, particularly in the South. Because you get down here and, I come from first of all, live television news. Hello. I speak the Brooklyn alphabet. But it becomes difficult for women to break in, I think, outside of major cities, because if they have any edgy material at all, it's really kind of almost too shocking for the audience.
Right. I will, in the interest of full disclosure, say that my show is very grown up. I always say that to people. I have a grown up show. It's for grown ups. And I'm unapologetic about that. I'm a grown up and you're grown ups and we're all out here having a drink and we're gonna have a grown up conversation. I think that there's always a way to articulate who you are to the audience in a way that they'll understand. You're never gonna win everybody. And that's the other thing. Comedians, we have this thing where we can make 299 people laugh, and if the 300th person isn't laughing, that's all we can see. We're just fixated on that one dude. You know, it was the worst set of my life because, you know, the buddy behind me on the left was, you know, gnawing on his celery sticks and looking at the floor. But if you can find that audience anywhere. I think for women, I think we have to be unapologetic about who we are. We have to express our ideas as with as much strength and fortitude as we were if we were a guy, and we have to be completely forthcoming about it. And so for me, I don't soften my show. I have a very guy-friendly show. It's very bawdy, and it's also very male-friendly.
Guys are your audience.
Yeah, guy. I'm probably the only female comedian in the world who gets like huge bachelor parties at my shows. But I think the point is that don't worry so much about whether you're going to like. Well, a lot of women are afraid to win over the men, so they just try for the women. Get the whole audience. Just be funny. There are things that are universally funny about being a woman that everybody will still laugh at.
Casey, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it. We're talking with Ayesha Tyler. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's see if we can talk with Brenna. Brenna with us from Cleveland.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Well, I'm actually in the midst of a transition right now. I've spent many years as a comedy improviser, and I just started doing stand-up about a year ago. So now I'm feeling pretty unsupported because I'm out there all by myself trying to be adorable and funny. And it's really strange for me to come from, you know, being on a team to being a solo artist. So it's like, it's kind of wigging me out. Like, I'm still funny, but like, I just feel really naked to the world out there. It's kind of strange.
It is a very exposed way of working. You know, first thing I would tell you is stop worrying about being adorable. Comedy is not cute. I think that's one problem that women sometimes have is they're worried about being precious. Precious undermines comedy at all times. So just worry about being funny. Don't worry about looking ugly. That's the minute you start worrying about how you look up there, just make sure your fly's up. And after that, the rest of it's just that's academics. And the second thing I would say is, it's going to be a real transition for you. I remember at one period of my life, I had to rewrite my entire act. And I had been really confident. I'd been doing material for a long time. All of a sudden, it wasn't working for me anymore. And I had to throw everything away and start from scratch. And it was the most confusing time in my life. I would like get flop sweats before I'd go on stage. I have to wear like, I have to bring three different shirts to the club and change backstage. And I was flipping out, you know, and for the first time in a long time, I wasn't having good shows. And a buddy of mine, at Harlan Williams, actually, he said, you know, you're just going through growing pains. Every comedian goes through these growing pains. So just focus on being funny. Write as much as you can, perform as much as you can, go watch other comedians, form a club of comedians, find other comedians whose work you like and respect, form a writing group. I had a couple other comics, two other female comics. We'd meet every Sunday. We'd all have to bring five jokes. We'd read them to the group, and we'd all punch each other's jokes up. You can still have that kind of collaborative experience, even though you're a solo performer, and you'll find that comedians love to give you tags and love to give you ideas because they all think they're much funnier than you are.
And Brenna, even though you're part of a lineup at a comedy club, it's very different from being part of a team.
Absolutely. Like, I still do work with my team, Angry Ladies of Improv, and it's very, you know, like when I go out and do my own thing, I almost feel like I'm cheating on them sometimes. But, like, I know that I have to do it in order to be effective and to grow, so... Yep.
And growth is what it's all about. You know, it's there are very few art forms as scary as comedy. So you're right to feel terrified and maybe wake up in a cold sweat. Find some other comics that you like and you respect and ask if they'll watch your set. Ask if they'll sit down and punch up with you. And you'll feel supported even though they're not up with you on stage.
Is that a little like Fight Club? Punch up with you?
Yes, yeah. Punch up with you.
The comedy is you don't talk about comedy.
Yes, it's all the blood is on the inside with the comedy Fight Club. Yes, it's just psychic bleeding.
Following up. And Brenna, thanks very much for the call. Good luck.
Thank you.
This from Don in Tucson. Which comedians do you admire and watch when you're not working?
Well, I have a short list of kind of oldies but goodies. I really love Lenny Bruce. Obviously, Richard Pryor's probably influenced every working comedian today. I love Louis C.K. I love Chris Rock. You know, there's some women that I really love that are probably not as well known. Maria Bamford, I think, is really talented. There's a comedian named Jackie Cation, who I think is incredibly funny. Bill Burr is a friend of mine and also a really funny guy. It's interesting. You end up kind of idolizing or admiring your peers, and they're not always guys that everybody knows. But I try to also be myself. I try not to emulate. You know, the best thing in comedy is to find your own path.
And steal your jokes from the best.
Or steal your jokes from people that nobody knows.
Aisha Tyler is stand-up comedian, actress, and author. She joined us here in Studio 3.
But I don't steal, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you very much for your time.
That's a pleasure.
Tomorrow, pills that may prevent breast cancer, treatments that promise to help patients with a deadly skin cancer survive longer. We'll talk about the promise and reality of new advances in the war on cancer. Join us for that. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.